All right, tonight let's take our Bibles, turn to 1 Kings chapter number 13. 1 Kings chapter number 13. Been looking at this story of Israel and the divided kingdom. The Bible tells us that after King Solomon died, the kingdom of Israel was divided between two southern tribes that formed Judah and the 10 northern tribes that made up Israel. And Solomon's son Rehoboam reigned over the southern boys. And the one who had been Solomon's servant at one time, Jeroboam, reigned over Israel, the northern 10 tribes. And before the nation divided, we know that Solomon had built a magnificent temple. We looked at that a few weeks back, and we saw how God had said that Jerusalem was the place where they were supposed to worship. And they set the temple there. However, Jeroboam, he didn't want any of the people of his kingdom to go up to Jerusalem to worship for fear that they might return to Rehoboam. And Rehoboam decided to get him killed. So you can understand the strife that's going on here. So according to chapter number 12, where we just finished up, he made his own two centers for worship without checking in on God and seeing what God had to say about that. And they actually became places for idol worship, not worshiping the one true God. And he even ordained his own order of priests, altars, and sacrifices. And one worship center was at Bethel in the southern portion of the kingdom, just north of Jerusalem, about 11 miles north of Jerusalem, and the other was at Dan, which was in the northern portion of the kingdom, was trying to make it, convenient for the people, you know. And so we see here tonight in chapter 13 that God sent a man of God to Bethel to cry against the altar that Jeroboam had erected there. Now in the message tonight, I don't want us to consider so much the sin of King Jeroboam, we looked at that last week, or the sin of the people of Israel, because they're sinning and bowing down to these idols. But rather what I want us to do is consider the price of disobedience that's going to be paid here by one of God's choice servants, a prophet. There's a prophet that comes to deliver this message, and he's obedient in part, but there comes a point where he goes against the Word of God, that he knows to be true, what God had told him. He allows another man of God to talk him out of doing the right thing, and he pays a price. Let's read verses 1 through 6 to begin tonight. 1 Kings 13, verse number 1, it says, "Behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. So we see that this was God's man, sent by God for this purpose. This man of God cried out against evil. Here we have an unpopular prophet. His name's not given to us. He's not named. He's delivering an unpopular message, a message of judgment. They're never popular. You know, when you preach on judgment against sin, you know, it makes people uncomfortable. And this was one that would make King Jeroboam uncomfortable. And this was not only an unpopular prophet delivering an unpopular message, but he delivered it to a popular king. Jeroboam was the people's king. They are the ones who chose him to reign over them. And there should have been an outcry, an uprising from all of God's people about what was going on in Israel here at this time. There was an outcry by the Levites. Remember, we pointed that out a little bit last week, which we would expect the Levites. Remember, he cast the Levites out. Basically, he had his own priests. But there was not near the outcry of what should have been from the rest of the people. And, you know, there's something wrong when God's people keep silent about evil. When we keep silent about evil, we need to be careful that we don't grow so accustomed to sin and evil around us that it doesn't bother us anymore. It's kind of like, I don't know if you ever lived near a railroad track, but you know, if you live near a railroad track for a certain amount of time, when you first move there, it bothers the hound out of you as the trains go by and as the whistles blow. But there comes a time when you just kind of get used to it, right? Same way with an airport. And we do the same thing with sin. We get used to sin just being around us, and we're not bothered by it like we once were. We ought to not allow ourselves to grow accustomed to sin and evil around us so that it doesn't bother us anymore. We see this man of God prophesied about some coming events. Here we find in verses 2 and 3, a very remarkable prophecy. This man of God actually names Josiah, King Josiah, in the prophecy. Now listen, this prophecy did not come to pass this immediately. It came to pass 300 years later. Okay? He named the king's name who was going to do this. In fact, I'm going to have you turn to there. Just hold your place there in 1 Kings 13. Look at 2 Kings chapter number 23, and we'll see this prophecy fulfilled. And there's nothing that substantiates the Word of God like fulfilled prophecy. You know, how do we know that the unfulfilled prophecy that is in the Word of God is going to be fulfilled? Well, we know it because of the fulfilled prophecies that are in the Word of God. If fulfilled prophecy is one thing I'm teaching on Thursday nights in the college over in St. Augustine, as I'm teaching Bible prophecy. And one of the main things I want them to grab hold of is that is what gives us such substantiation for believing that these things that are to come to pass in the future. We look back and see God fulfilled literally all the prophecies related to the Lord Jesus Christ, His first coming. Every one of them was fulfilled literally. And if those for His first coming were fulfilled literally, word to word, then what about the second coming? All of it's going to be fulfilled. We can stand upon that because of what happened with His first coming. Now we see here in 2 Kings 23, and I want you to look at verse number 15 and 16. It says, moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place, which Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place he broke down and burned the high place and stamped it small to powder and burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchers that were there in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchers and burned them upon the altar and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. fulfilled literally. The Lord said what was going to happen, and it did happen. Those those who offered sacrifices on those altars, yeah, they were a long time dead. They got their bones out, though, and burned them on the altar. That's what he was talking about over there in 1 Kings 13. But, you know, God's given us prophecies about coming events that we need to be telling a lost and dying world about, because they will come to pass. There is going to be a tribulation period. There is going to be a time when we're going to be caught up out of here, and things are going to get in a bad way, when we've gone on to be with the Lord, and there folks are left behind that don't know the Lord. The things with regard to the great white throne judgment, the things with regard to the lake of fire, all of those things have been prophesied in Scripture, and they will come to pass. And we need to be telling folks about it. Listen, this man of God was defended by the Lord. We find that in verse number 4 and 5 of our text here, 1 Kings 13, verse 4 and 5. You know, as soon as this man of God had finished speaking, the king wanted to stretch out a hand against him. And God defends those who are in his will. When the king's outstretched hand, which symbolized his authority, when it withered, this illustrated that God's authority was greater than Jeroboam's authority. Amen. This man, he decided he was just going to obey God, and this left no doubt in the minds of those present that this was a prophecy of God. Now, we'll see later in this chapter an instance when God did not defend this particular prophet, though. This is the prophet that right now he's doing what God told him to do. But later on, he's not going to do what God told him to do. In fact, he's going to do the opposite of what God told him to do. And it's not going to go well for him. God defending him here, but it's not going to go well the next time. This man of God, though, was able to perform a miracle of God there in verse number 6. And he made intercession for this wicked king. Can you imagine? You know, this wicked king, when he stretched out his arm against him, he was intending on taking that guy's life. And now he said, pray to the Lord for me. You know? And, of course, he made intercession for him. He had power in prayer. And there wasn't a moment's hesitation or doubt in this prophet's mind that God could heal the king's arm. And, you know, we need that same power in prayer today to believe God for great things. So we see that this was indeed a man of God. Second thing I want you to see, found in verses 7 through 10, we see this man of God knew what God had said. Look at verse 7. It says, "And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king," here's the word that he got. Okay, he said, "If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place, for so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, drink no water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Beth-El." Well, it appears that he's going to obey the Lord. With the king, he does. The instruction of the Lord was clear here. He was not to have any fellowship with these idolaters. You know, having contact and having close fellowship are two different things. And we must have contact with the lost if we're going to be effective witnesses, but we must be careful not to be pulled into their world. Amen? And we're not to become like them. We're not to show that we agree with them in any way. And the instructions he received from the Lord were very specific. He was to eat no food. Back during this time, to eat a meal with an invited guest under one's roof was to give him a promise of continuing personal protection. And eating a meal would really have placed him in Jeroboam's debt. And the Lord didn't want that for him. He was to eat no bread. He was to drink no drink. He was to return by a different path. And this was to illustrate that this was not a pleasure trip, but it was He was in Bethel on business of God. You know, God sent him specifically to Bethel. And so he took a different route home. And there are similar instructions given for God's people today. You know, we're not to have close fellowship with those who are wicked. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Ephesians 5:11 says, Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And then we're going to be taking a look, Lord willing, this Sunday evening at verse in 2 John, verse 10 and 11. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. So we need to be careful how we deal with those who are wicked. We see that he resisted the king's temptation easily. Notice the king's offer there in verse number 7. He said, come home with me, and he said, and refresh thyself, and I'll give thee a reward. And now notice the prophet's response there in verse number 8. And he could not be bribed or tempted by the king, even if this offer was going to be half of the king's house or wealth. He wasn't interested. You know, he was not looking to get rich out of this thing. The prophet was soon on his way home, and he appeared to be carefully following God's commands. Then we see that this man of God allowed himself to be deceived. We look at verse number 11. We see that there was another prophet here. Verse number 11. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel. Now his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And the father said unto them, What way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, Saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and he went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, Come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said, and here's where the problem came in at. Twice this man of God here now, I want you to notice, twice he is told what God told him. Well, here comes this old prophet's story. Verse 18. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. Look at this. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drank water. Big problem here. Yes, this was another prophet here. A good question here would be, why had this prophet not cried against the altars set up by Jeroboam? Yeah? Now, he was already there. Why didn't God use him? Well, probably had to do, he didn't have any character. I mean, he shows it because he's a lying prophet, isn't he? He's a lying prophet. He become lazy and complacent about the things of God, and even went to the point of lying about the Word of God. Could it be that this man, although he had the gift of prophecy, he may have at one time been true to God and his calling, had now become more concerned about this apostate king's favor? We're talking about Jeroboam. He's more interested in Jeroboam's favor than having God's favor. Now, that's the way a lot of folks are. They're more interested in what people in church. There's a lot of preachers that they preach to the ears of the of the congregation rather than preach what thus saith the Lord. And it's sad to say, but it's the case of many folks today. In the interest of pleasing people and being politically correct, many who once were faithful to God have forsaken the truth and calling of God for their life. In Acts 5:29, Peter told and John told the council we ought to obey God rather than men. And this prophet should have obeyed God rather than this other prophet. He was just a man. He knew what the Lord had told him, but he goes and he obeys what this man said that God had told him. So we see that this man of God was deceived by this supposed fellow servant. But the old prophet lied to suit his own purposes, and we don't know exactly what this prophet's motivation was. He may have wanted to destroy this man of God in order to elevate himself in the eyes of the king. He may have just wanted to fellowship with another man of God in whom he could see the power of God was working in this guy's life, hoping maybe it might rub off on him. I mean, he obviously didn't have any power in his life. He told the man of God that he had received a message from God. There was a problem, though. This message contradicted the message that had already been given to this man of God. Can I tell you, this is the same old song, just a different tune. That's all it is. God told Adam and Eve that they would die if they ate of the forbidden fruit. But what did Satan say? Thou shalt not surely die. Who did they listen to? They listened to Satan rather than listen to God. How subtle our adversary is. The man of God had no trouble refusing the temptation of the king, but he was deceived by one of his own kind. It's easy to say no to sin when it's plain to see, but we need to beware of becoming relaxed, don't we? We need to be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, as the roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, according to 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. So this man of God allowed himself to be deceived, and then we see this man of God paid a price for his disobedience. Let's pick up in verse number 20. Verse number 20. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back, and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread, and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way, and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by, and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, It is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord which he spake unto him. And he spake to his son, saying, Saddle me the ass. And they saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way, the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass, nor torn the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God, and laid it upon the ass, and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave. And they mourned over him, saying, Alas, my brother. And it came to pass, after he had buried him, that he spake to his son, saying, When I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. for the saying which he cried for the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria shall surely come to pass. So we see here God had another message for this man of God that wasn't really a man of God much anymore. I mean, the first time the message was for others. This time the message was for him. And God used this old backslidden prophet to deliver this sentence of death. And why did this happen? Well, because this man of God knew the truth and willfully believed another man rather than believe God. And you mark it down, anytime you hear a message that claims to be from God but is contrary to the Word of God, you better stick with the truth. Amen? Stick with the truth. Don't be deceived like this prophet was. This prophet paid with his life. His life was lost because he lost his credibility with God. It may have been different had he not known the truth, but twice he acknowledged with his own mouth what the Lord had told him. And think of it. If God had wanted to change the plan, he'd have told him directly. Right? He would have. And just like he told him the first time directly. And I want you to notice the lion here. He did not kill for the meat. You know, we think of a lion. The lion's going to kill him and eat him. He didn't do that. It's a disobedient prophet must have left a bad taste in his mouth. I don't know. But he just killed him is all he did. He did not harm his ass. He remained near the carcass as if to gloat. But notice his grave. He was laid in the sepulcher of this old lying prophet. And even in death, his only identification would be with a liar. Yeah? He's going to be buried with a liar. That was going to happen. The way he is ultimately remembered is as a disobedient servant. No testimony. You know, yeah, he obeyed at one time, but what left the lasting impression? You think what left the lasting impression was the prophecy that he made that would be fulfilled later on, or him being disobedient to the Lord and the Lord taking care of it? Listen, the price of disobedience comes higher than any of us want to pay. The example of this old disobedience prophet proves it. We could take a look at the example of Saul, proves it. The example of David proves it. You know, anytime these servants of God got out of sync with God, bad things happened. The example of Jonah proves it. The example of others in the Word of God proves it. We must be careful to obey God rather than men, because there is an adversary on the prowl. Matthew 7:15 says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Listen, there are many lying prophets today saying that God has said something different than what the truth of the Word of God proclaims. We hear it all the time. We had better stick with the book. Stick with the truth of God's Word. We must commit ourselves anew each day to God's Word so we won't become easy prey for our adversary, the devil. Satan can't have our soul, but he can ruin our testimony. And he can destroy our effectiveness for God by deceiving us into doing something that is contrary to God's Word. Don't let it happen. Amen. All right. That's our Bible study for this evening. Let's set that aside. We'll pray for the needs. Going to pull out a prayer list. Pray for the needs that we mentioned earlier. And we'll be dismissed with this prayer.